Good morning and shalom. You are invited again into this beautiful journey, the journey to go through the scriptures verse by verse, to go through the scriptures chapter by chapter, book by book, and also to allow the word of God to go through us. As it changes us, as it matures us to become the version that God wants of us. We completed the book of John, and we understood that the book of John was just about belief, how to believe the word of truth. And how to believe the word that God has said of who he, or about himself. And we discovered that there are people who heard what God said and what they were convinced about, but they hardened their hearts and they rejected the message that was sent to them. And the end of that is death, it's separation. But we also heard of others who were called by the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Bible says that he came to call those that were his. But there are those who accepted that call, and they were given power to become children of God. Children not born of flesh, but born of the Spirit. And they have walked in that journey of belief. And the end of it all is eternal life. Now, we have now entered into a new book, the book of Romans. And I want us to figure out briefly or reflect about the book of Romans. What it is all about, and also deal with chapter 1, verses 1 to 17, just to so that we can break it into manageable sessions. The book of Romans is a beautiful letter. It is an account written by Paul to believers in Rome. This account was sent to this church in Rome to explain the simplicity of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The church at Rome was predominantly made of Gentiles, but it was also made of Jewish brothers. And so we can say it was made up of two brothers. One of the brother is called a Gentile. That's a major, the majority, and the rest of the community was made of Jewish community. But they had believed in Jesus Christ, or they were called to believe in Jesus Christ. And so Paul wrote to this group just to explain the simplicity of the good news, God's news of kindness. But he did that by answering about seven questions about the good news. And this is what we are going to be covering in the book of Romans. Number one, we'll be talking about what is the gospel. What do you mean when you talk about the gospel? The gospel, what is it? Number two, whose good news is it? Who is the author? Who is the owner of the good news? This package that we call good news, whose it is? Who is the author? Number three, what is the purpose of the good news? Now that we have known what it is, and we know that the good news belongs to God, what is the purpose of this good news? If you know the purpose of the good news, we should now be able to know, number four, where should we preach the good news? Where should we take this good news? Actually, Paul is writing to this group to tell them that he wanted them to go and preach the gospel, or to be part of those preaching the gospel beyond the Rome or Italy. Number five, how should we propagate the good news so that others will be won? You need to propagate, we need to declare this good news, because the good news is to be declared so that other people who hear it are won to to Christ. Number six, who ought to propagate the gospel? Who is to speak this gospel? Who is sent to go and propagate? We need to know that the people that Jesus has called to go and propagate the gospel, and then are called apostles. But before that, they must mature up. They must get to know all those lessons before they go. And finally, we want to see number seven, the target audience. Who are the target audience? Who are you targeting? And what is the response and reaction when they hear this call? And so we'll be dealing with a gospel call. The gospel call. I think that would be the key thing here, is about the gospel call. And the gospel call, we will look at all those questions as we think about this call. Who do you call? What is the attitude that you have? Now, Father, I want us to understand that the gospel of Rome, written by Paul, was written to support race, or to the or to fund race from the Roman believers. He was writing this so that he may tell them, answer those questions, those seven questions. Then he enlisted them. Then he asked them, be part of my team to propagate the gospel beyond your borders. We want to go and propagate the gospel beyond Italy. Paul had a vision or had a desire to go to a place called Spain. This is in Europe. So he wanted to take the gospel beyond Italy to Europe, and a place called Spain. When you read the book of Romans 15, 23 to 29, you discover Paul having this desire. But now he wants to enlist help. And he's saying, can you be part of it? Can you support the gospel call? Now, this calls for them to be mature. You cannot enlist people to be part of the gospel advances unless you have understood what it's all about. So you can only be part of, or part in advancing the good news, the gospel, if you understand it very well. So the book of Romans is a story of redemption. This gospel story, or this gospel, is a story of redemption. And as you go to propagate, you are taking the gospel of redemption for all humanities from the captivity, or from the slavery of sin, from the slavery of self, from the slavery of Satan, from the slavery of the systems of the world, so that when you call these people, they'll come and form a new family of God, a new family of praise and worship, a family that would continue to lace up and glorify God. So Paul, in his speaking, he said, the law would show the need for this redemption. the law given to the Jewish brother or the Jewish tribe community was good, is righteous, and it would show that there's need to come from where we are. It shows that there's a need for redemption, but it falls short of the power to deliver. It only tells you this is the state you are in, describes the power, or the law describes the state that the person is in, but it does not have power to convince or to win people from the state where they are in to come to Jesus Christ. It's only the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ could set us free. So I want to welcome you into this journey in the book of Romans. As we look at the book of Romans here, I want you to consider the fact that there's a story told in the book of Luke chapter 15, of two brothers, one who is called a prodigal son, that represent the Gentile people, another one that was left at home, who represent the Jewish community. So as we read this book of Romans, I want to bring attention and help you to figure out what was life like when the second born came back home. How was it like? Of course, the firstborn son in the initial stage had already refused to welcome him, had actually said, "This son of yours." He was not mature enough to welcome his brother who was coming home. The father tried to win the heart of this elder brother, and he was telling him, "Your brother was dead, now he's alive. He was lost, but now he is found." But his elder brother would not be. So I want you to figure out how life continued from the day the brother came back home. I'm foreseeing that brotherly, sibling rivalry continued. I'm seeing the brother, second brother, the prodigal son, who is saying, "But my father has accepted me." And then the other brother would say, "No, you destroyed your estate. You asked of this. And you, if you have to come back," I am seeing that he was giving some kind of criteria for him to come back, while father had not given the criteria. And so as we embark in this book, I want you to look at how Paul really talks about the gospel, and he gives all the question we have talked about the gospel. But also finally here, and of great importance, is to look at the attribute or the attitude towards those